Ruach Adonai Yahuwah is upon me, because Yahuwah has anointed me to preach the Bessorah unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the covering of sight to the blind.
I've got one that can see.
Welcome to the Sight to the Blind podcast. I'm going to start this off with a rant. This episode is going to be entitled Rant, because I feel I have to cut through this Christmas spirit, that's holiday spirit that everybody gets in. Regardless if you're awakened or you still sleep, it's still a spirit that lays over the people around the month of November. Really starts at October, November, December, and January, where you don't get no truth exposed into anybody's brains, into anybody's system, is because they're so engulfed with this holiday spirit of being around family, being around friends. And at this point in time, it should be lonely for you. If you're doing this walk right, if you're being awakened, this is the time that you should be at your loneliest, because it's new to you. It's normal, because you're separating yourself. That's why some of the awakened Israelites like myself are saying we have to live a set-apart life. Some of you aren't brave enough yet, or don't have the courage enough yet to live a set-apart life, because this knowledge and this understanding and this truth is new to you. So you want to be around friends and family where they sit around and talk about nothing, joke about nothing, watch TV, watch sports. You don't want to be alienated. I get that. Being alone and doing this walk isn't for everybody, apparently. But the blessings are amazing. I'm going to say this again. The blessings are amazing. The peace you get for not being around people who are in the holiday spirit really gives you a kind of a calming ease when you approach day to day in this system that's completely showing itself to be collapsing. So I'm just going to go off my head of topics that really, I don't know, annoy me or bug me, but really I need to speak on. Because obviously I can't speak on it on Instagram or Twitter, because it just doesn't hit the same if I speak on it there, because people get offended. Like I said, everybody's in this holiday spirit where everything has to be fluffy, everything's nice, everything is bright and awesome. A follower wanted me to speak on, which I don't, I mean, I get it. This follower wants me to speak on the San Diego Charger game, which I was saying that sports were rigged. And if you haven't played football, if you haven't played at the level I played, me speaking about this incident is just not going to catch. It's not going to hit for you. You're not going to fully understand it, because you don't know the ins and outs of the NFL business. You don't know college football. You don't know the plays. You don't. It's certain things you just can't understand, because one, you're still in love with watching the game of football, or you're still in love and watching sports, and that is your release. That is your go-to to feel alive, or to feel something. That's your go-to. So you're going to defend it. And anything I say in this podcast, you're going to be like, no, that can't be true, because I watch these players make amazing plays. Like, again, I don't know why people like me keep trying to bring proof out that some of these games are rigged and managed. Let's go all the way back to who founded the game of football. Walter Camp was a skull and bonesman who invented American football. Fam, it's not going to get much better than this as far as exposing these secret societies' hands, especially anything that has to do with numbers. Really, anything that has to do with numbers, you know they have their hands in it. Now, when it first started, yeah, it was America's game, America's pastime. They didn't really, I don't think at that time they really, really into gematria as they are in gematria today. I just don't believe so. I think that you have to build, you have to start from the ground up. You have to infiltrate. And that's what all these secret societies do. That's what the Jesuits do. That's what the Freemasons do. is they infiltrate. They just don't create something and say, here it is, here's the product. No, they infiltrate things that were once wholesome and then corrupt them over time, where you can obviously, if you're not a real true fan of football or fan of any sport you like, then you're not going to see this. But if you watched old school tapes, old school games, and the level of play, and then you watched incidents that happened, like anything, if you follow Tom Brady, all his miraculous wonders, they've been managed. Come on, they've been managed. You can see it the way he lives off the field. You can see the endorsements he gets. They put a Sammy Adams can out with him as a GOAT. I mean, like I said, oh, it means he's the greatest of all time. But this again, this is people who I have to get in arguments with about people who sit on the couch and drink beer, have never played the football at a level that I played it, going to tell me what's real and what's not real and what's just coincidence. So before I get into this Charger game that people want me to talk about, I'm gonna go to the core of this team, this specific team, this organization. There was a man named H.L. Hunt. He got his money somehow, I think. The saying was he got his money through gambling titles. And back in the day, when you used to gamble, if you didn't have money, you gambled with titles. You gambled with deeds. And that's supposedly what I've heard. That's how he got his money. After working on a plantation. I'm not saying he worked as a slave on a plantation. I'm saying he worked on a plantation where there were slaves. Then somehow he became a oil millionaire at the time in Texas. During that time, he is involved. If you look this up, he is involved with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. If you look this up, when they had this supposedly secret meeting with Lyndon Johnson and all these supposedly high profile characters, Jack Ruby, all these people that supposedly was planning the demise of JFK, from the book depository to the commission to him getting shot, all these gunmen. Supposedly, he is the guy that was in that meeting. So, he had a son. He had a couple of sons. But one of his sons, Lamar Hunt, ran a publication against JFK. Look this up. He ran a publication against JFK literally the day before he was assassinated. So, the assassination happens. H.L. Hunt takes off, I guess, into Mexico to go hide because he thinks he's going to get caught. Lamar Hunt and his kids are shook because they ran a publication speaking against a guy who was beloved by the people. Not many people spoke out against JFK. The only people who spoke out was people JFK was going to clamp, and he was going to clamp down on oil tycoons. He was clamping down on the secret societies. So in order to H.L. to protect his funds, it was beneficial for him to get JFK out of the way. And H.L. Hunt owned factories, like food factories. And he was caught shipping rancid meat that has been spoiled, expired. He would ship that meat into the low-income black neighborhoods. He was a racist. He also had a radio show where he partnered with racists. I mean, this guy is pretty big in Texas. To have oil, radio broadcasting capabilities, and food. And then being a racist at that. But that's who he was at the time. He's even pictured at a... He's pictured at an event for Wallace. And everybody knows Wallace. You've seen him on Forrest Gump. He was the guy that stood in front of Alabama and didn't want black people to go to college. This is one of his speeches.
Today, I have stood where once Jefferson Davis stood and took an oath to my people. It is very appropriate that from this cradle of the Confederacy, this very heart of the great Anglo-Saxon Southland, that today we sound the drum for freedom, as have our generation of forebears before us done time and again down through history. Let us rise to the call of freedom-loving blood that is in us and send our answer to the tyranny that clanks its chains upon the South. In the name of the greatest people that have ever trod this earth, I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
This guy was a Democrat. Black people don't need to wake up to this fact. There was no party switched over. There wasn't, the parties were reversed. This was a Democrat, a Dixiecrat, speaking about segregation. And H.L. Hunt donated to his cause because he didn't want black folk to ever go to Democrats. He didn't want them to be a part of the political society. So what he did was fund the Nation of Islam. He funded Muhammad. That's what he did. He funded Muhammad. Malcolm X found out about this. Not only was Malcolm X finding out about all the women, all the children he was having outside of his marriage and all this nonsense that he had to populate the world, to populate the nation with his seed, which, trust me, no one needed his seed. But Malcolm X found out about this and investigated it, and he found, and there's tape and recordings of Malcolm X finding out that there's a Texas oil billionaire that's funding the Nation of Islam, that they're having separate accounts, living lavishly, while the nation lived in poverty, basically. That's what got Malcolm X killed. And the reason why H.L. Hunt gave money to the Nation of Islam is to keep them away from the political society, because they were always talking about, or Malcolm X was also talking about, having a separate nation, being apart from America. Which is, again, even though our people were asleep at that time, he was talking about a set-apart living, a set-apart life where we had our own land, our own nation, and we governed ourselves accordingly. That's what H.L. Hunt wanted. He didn't want black folks even mixed up into politics, Republican or Democrat. And then obviously we know the story of Malcolm X getting assassinated by his own people, which I'm pretty sure he had a hand in it. He's also closely related to a couple other guys who had a part in the Martin Luther King assassination. Like, you have to look this up. This critical race theory is not gonna, they're not gonna teach you this in critical race theory. They're really not. I only found this out when I was randomly watching something about Malcolm X. Then they mentioned his name, and I was like, man, Hunt, that seems familiar, because I met Lamar Hunt. Lamar Hunt was one of the owners of the Kansas City Chiefs. I looked it up, and this is how the information I found out about these people. These people that pretend they're better than me. These people that pretend they're better than a lot of people. The same family that almost had the same most domestic violence arrest than I did. They pretty much match me throughout their family line, their family history. But it's been covered up. I mean, you have to really search who these people truly are. Trust me, they don't announce their flaws unless it's a ritual, an embarrassment ritual, and they're getting something out of it. That's the only time they'll announce their flaws, and when they ever lost. So Lamar Hunt owns Kansas City Chiefs. His son Clark Hunt runs the Kansas City Chiefs now. So there came a time in the Chargers game. I came a time in the season where I was supposedly going to break the all-time Chiefs rushing record. And I have only started for 2 years after splitting time with Priest Holmes. So at that time, I maybe had 80 to 90 yards, and I was going to break it. When Todd Haley came in, he changed the entire offense, which I can't stand the offenses they run now. It's always a shotgun, and the running back's on the right or left. I am not that type of dude. I am a I formation, single back guy. That's two tights or one tights or overload with two tights to one side. That's how I ran. I wasn't with this stand 5 yards back and take a handoff and ride the quarterback's arm and don't know if I'm going to get it or not. That's not how my running style. That's not my running style. It just wasn't. So going into the game, first and second downs, the defense is always guessed right. I'm going to say it again. First and second downs, defense is always guessed right. And they try to make an excuse, well, everybody knows you're in the game, you're going to run. No, they don't. When I was in the game, every first and second down, the defenses always guessed right. They always put 7 to 8 men in the box against me. Regardless if it was a run or a pass, they put 7 or 8 in the box. When I came out on third down, Jamal Charles went in. They went to 6 to 5 men almost in the box. And they kept this trend going throughout the entire season where I was supposedly going to break this all-time Chiefs rushing record. That's what it was. It was like that the whole time. And I thought to myself, there's no way in the world that these defenses can be picking the right defensive schemes every time I'm in there. But I looked at where Todd Haley came from. He came from Arizona. He did the same thing to Edgerrin James that they're doing to me. Edgerrin James went backwards as soon as Todd Haley became offensive coordinator because they used him and Hightower, and Hightower were breaking off long runs because he ran on third and short yardage gains, and then they put Edgerrin in first and second where he kept seeing a 7 and 8 man box. When they try to get you out of there, when they try to devalue you, there's ways they can devalue you during a game. And I'm telling you, it's scripted. When we go into a game, when they tell you the first 10 plays of this, that's when I know the whole game is scripted. When they give me the little armband, when we got into that stupid pistol shotgun, that formation where I pretend like I'm quarterback and everybody know I'm not throwing no ball, even though I threw one halfback pass. But that formation where I'm in the pistol, where I pretend like I'm a drop back, I'm just going to run anyway. We had armbands where we could tell what the first 5 or 10 plays were going to be. Even though we're the audible, even if we shifted out of it, it was still an option on the wristband where these were the plays that we were going to run regardless of where we were on the field. So it was scripted. So we're used to things being scripted. When we practice going against a specific defensive scheme. So we know what defensive scheme could work. We know which one won't work. We know where there's pockets. We know where they're going to be overloaded to one side. Now, you take two teams that go through a scripted practice every single day until the game is played, and you got offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. If you want to manage a game, you could just basically say, what play is going to have a 60 or 70-yard passing touchdown? All right, we'll put him in this defense and this play, and it should happen. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it won't, but it's still being a managed situation. So I would go into this San Diego Charger game with the game being managed to not let me get that record. And when we were getting blown out, which is what they probably would have wanted, is we were getting blown out. I tried to go back in it. This is for the fact that I wanted to go back in and play still. Not because I wanted the record, because I wanted to play. And he purposely kept me out and kept the starters in and let them play the whole time. And they kept me on the side the entire time, the third and fourth. And then I found out after the game that I had 75 yards to go to break this all-time Chiefs record. And then, you know, at that time, I couldn't handle my emotions. But I was still talking about, you know, certain aspects of the organization that didn't sit right with me. Like Todd Haley not being a football player, but all of a sudden getting a head coaching job. And I compared his situation to my father, because my father, you know, was a, you know, state high school championship. He's in the Hall of Fame for Maryland high school football coaching. You know, coached at Penn State. Now he's at Ohio State. I fought for my father and said, oh, he deserves to be a coach in the league. And Todd Haley took that and ran with it and got all upset about it. And then I got upset on Twitter and I called some black dude. I don't even know if he's even on Twitter anymore. I called him a fag or whatever, and that blew up. And I really didn't realize how bad that situation was. And then they wanted me to apologize to Ty Haley and all that. And then after I apologized, they told me to go home. So after this game, this Charger game, I go home. We're going into the Oakland game. I'm not at practice. Then next thing they tell me, like, oh, you're going to get released. Now, I've been here. Now, before this, I had been arrested maybe 3 or 4 times on domestic situations and never got released. I get to Twitter. The first time I log in on Twitter and started using it, have a meeting with the organization. Then they tell me I'm going to be released before I go to Oakland, which is a team that I pretty much own regardless of its home or away, that I was going to break that record. They didn't want me to break it. They released me. I ended up going to Cincinnati, and then my career kind of tailed off after that. That is how I realized that they fixed and managed these games. If they can manage me, I know in the grand scheme of things, they can manage other teams and other players to make sure their specific player that's under their Masonic rule or a Masonic thumb, that they come out on top. That is why I bring up if you look through every Tom Brady close call and situation, his miraculous comeback wins, it is because they fix and manage the defensive schemes so he can overcome. You have to look at it, stop looking at it as a sport and a game. When the game comes on TV, they tell you. It's not a big secret. They tell you this is a presentation of the National Football League. When it ends, they say, thank you, this has been a presentation of the National Football League. It's a presentation. It's a product. I'm telling you, if we went back, if none of the Freemasons or anybody gotten tampered with this game, we would be still seeing 3 downs in a cloud of dust. You wouldn't be seeing as much passing that you see now. You wouldn't see the offenses really changing much, because people would be satisfied. But the fact that people started complaining, said, oh, the game is boring, it's too slow, it stops too many times, they said, all right, well, we need to make the game faster. And that's why you see these offenses throw the ball 150 times, you know, a game. Third one, they'll throw it 80 yards. That's where the game is now, because people, endorphin, and people want to see things go faster. People want to see high-scoring games. People watch basketball and watch Curry shoot 3-pointers from 10 feet back and be like, all right, I want that to be football. And that's what people want. People want a ball being thrown 100 times a game straight up in the air and watch people run and go catch it. That's where people's brains are right now. Mush. It's not even about the, I like the physical part of the game. It's not even allowed to be physical no more. I seen guys get penalties for usually doing what Earl Campbell used to do back in the day. But for this specific organization, this is how I woke up. This is how I understood that everything that these people touch is manipulated, is managed. And this is how I know football. Funny, I know football. I mean, look at that Saints and Rams game. Come on. You have the referees from LA, which is a no-no, blatantly missed a pass interference call. And all the NFL did was, oh yeah, we should have called that. We're going to bring them in for a meeting, and we should have called that. Everybody was in an uproar for like a good 2 or 3 days. And then the Rams get into the Super Bowl. And I'm telling you, it wasn't a top-tier game. You had one of the fastest backfields. Los Angeles Rams had one of the fastest backfields in all of football. Getting beat on under routes by Edelman. By a Jewish football player. Which is not that many. Edelman. He gets the NFL MVP. And I'm telling you, if you go through the gematria numbers with that whole nonsense, it adds right up for it to be in managed and manipulated. They had one of the fastest backfields in National Football League, and you're going to tell me Julian Edelman can beat guys on a 5-yard under routes? They were playing, the Rams were playing so far back, the Patriots didn't have anybody They didn't have anybody that could beat that defensive backfield. Not, they never did. Not since the days of like Randy Moss and Branch did they have burners on the outsides that could burn DBs. They played, that's why the game was so low scoring, because they were trying to manage it for them. They had to try to find a way to beat that fast backfield. So they were throwing 5 yard outs and 5 yard under routes and catching them in cover four and cover three when they didn't need to be in cover four, cover three. They should have been in cover two bump because none of those receivers could move. They weren't fast. But like I said, if you don't know football or understand football, you're just watching it as a fan, what everything I say right now don't make sense to you because you love the game of football and you take it as, oh, I played in high school and I love it. And it wasn't managed then. Well, yeah, because you weren't getting paid money and you weren't on TV and you weren't in endorsements and behind it. It's, you know, the sports are used as a distraction. The old Roman saying, bread and circus. But let's switch gears to this whole thing about Judge Michelle Onet. This whole thing of this judge in Lafayette supposedly had a home intruder, and she's on tape screaming about the N-word, black folk in an uprising or upraise about it. Even though black folk on Twitter, every other sentence on every other tweet and every other comment section on Instagram, it's the N-word this, this N-word that, this N-word this, and then this N-word that. Black people can't go 4 words on any tweet or any comment without mentioning the word nigga. So when somebody white says the N-word with a hard E-R, we all of a sudden come enraged that we have to defend our right to be enslaved. Our word that's been used to be a mockery and a reproach to us, we want to defend it because some white woman said it when a guy intruded on her lands.
Yeah. The mom goes, why are the lights on?
When I pull up in the whip, they be saying, God damn.
Like, why are your lights on? They're like, pull up.
And mom's yelling, nigger, nigger.
Again, we have a nigger. It's a nigger.
Look, I jumped. Oh, that's me.
No, that's
I came from the backside.
Look, he trips over the
line. He trips twice.
I was the only one running.
That's me. Kenny was standing. I'm the one that took him down. Kenny's just standing there.
Now let's use a little bit of logic over emotion. How do you think this tape recording got out? All of those people there were watching the screen. All those people there were jeering on. And she's in the back. Regardless of her stupid excuse was, oh, I was on some sedatives. I don't care what sedatives. Sedatives don't make you talk like that. And it was corny and it was forced. It's like they literally filmed it and had a conversation like, this is what we should say. We should laugh and make it about black people. We should try to speak some type of Ebonics to make it known that we have a problem with black folk. Then we should get together and release it. So the people that's in her house have to be trusted as well, because they are just as guilty as she is. None of them stood up and say, hey, you shouldn't say that. They were laughing. So to release this tape, it would look bad on everybody in that house. But they never tell you who else is in that house or who else's voice is on that tape. They just say hers. So black people, oh, this judge, we need to do it. But this is what they want you to do. They want you to have a problem with this whole entire system so they can destroy it, because that's what Adam Weishaupt and his Illuminati theories and agendas, this is what they wanted to do anyway. They want to strip America down to its pure pentagram diagram in the middle of that Capitol. They want to strip it down and bring out this whole Luciferian agenda. Satan must rise from, that's why you see this bird and these phoenix rise from the ashes. That is what that means. Build back better. That means something has to be destroyed in order for you to come back to build something. This is what that means. It's not, oh, we got to start. It's, we got to start over from scratch. Everything must be destroyed. Every piece of old Americana has to be destroyed for us to build back on something that's supposed to be better than the old ways, which is not, which is just New World Order control. They getting you ready for the Antichrist. They getting you ready for that one man. Just like the days of ancient Babylon when Nimrod rose. They have to prepare. What are they doing right now? They're building that tower spiritually. They're building it. People were putting the stones together. And y'all just, some of y'all just is blind to it. Oh, you know, we go twerk and we do TikTok, you know, bark at our dogs, throw cheese on our babies' faces, make our faces look like horses to traumatize our children. That's what y'all doing. Or some of y'all are doing. Or the majority of the world is doing that. And they're preparing, they're laying the foundation and the groundwork spiritually to bring out the Antichrist. So when it all is destroyed, you need to somebody to save you. So all this forced racial dramatic psyops that they put on you black folk, that y'all haven't realized, y'all are the energy that powers America. They don't do this. America doesn't do this with any other nation. They don't. Everything that they try to do to gather some spiritual energy is based off us. We're not the majority in this country. You would think if they really wanted to cause a revolution or some dramatic events, why don't you just stick to doing it against their own people? But y'all haven't figured out how special you are in this system. That's why I say, why you want to protest and beat your hands against the police departments, against all these people, that they want you to do that. They know that if they antagonize you to do that, the Most High has said this before you even got over here, before some of you even were born. He told you that he was going to put a foolish nation over you that will literally piss you off. That's what he said. I will anger you. I will provoke you to jealousy with a foolish nation, a people who are not a people. That means these people, these Americans that are around here, don't know who they really are. A people who are not a people. They have no clan. They don't know who they belong to. They keep saying they're American. That was born here. This ain't their land either. They come from Europe, most of them, Ireland. And they starting to understand who you truly are. The system understands who you truly are. So what do they have to do? We have to bring out blackface. We have to have our trusted politicians, our Masonic affiliates, our controlled opposition to put on this race debate, these race battles. We have to put this whole show on to get black folk to pay attention to us more and more, because obviously them waking up to their true heritage, we can't stop that. Right now, when they're waking up and we're trying to slow it down, we're trying to get them to get off of it, and they're not stopping. You think they're not watching and paying attention to what we say and what we do and how we carry ourselves? That's the biggest threat. They don't care if Megan Thee Stallion is twerking on stage and rolling around on her hands and knees like a bed wench. They don't care if Cardi B out there saying the most disgusting thing out of her mouth and acting like a bed wench. They don't care how many IG thoughts turned music singers they promote and they push out and sacrifice right on the spot. They don't care how many of those people they have to do that to. They don't care. They are more threatened by the fact that we out here keep saying Judah, we keep saying 12 tribes, we buying menorahs, we buying ram's horns. They are more threatened to the fact that we are doing this more than we're out in the streets protesting. They were ever putting a black square on our Instagram and saying Black Lives Matter. They are more threatened and more intimidated by the fact that we are literally going back to the Most High's ways, these law, statutes, commandments, and we are terrifying them because they can't slow it down. And all it is building. They can't even, if they wanted to, this is their system. These are their platforms. Social media is theirs. It's not ours. We don't, it's nothing that's black owned that we are on to preach the truth. Nothing. YouTube is not owned by us. Instagram is not owned by us. Facebook is not owned by us. Twitter is not owned by us. All Parler, all those other subgenre, sub apps that we are on speaking these truths, none of it belongs to us. You would think if they had this quote unquote white supremacy power, they would just unplug everything and put us in total darkness. That should show you that this system has no power over you, Black America. This shows you, if you just do the little things, start off doing the little things. They don't even require you really to even leave your house unless it's to go work. If you literally do the little things that the Most High asked of you and start from there and build upon it, you starting to see this world for what it is and start crashing, and you stop wanting to participate in every stupid conversation that comes out of Shade Room, that comes out of Jasmine Brand, that comes out of Twitter. You would stop paying attention to that, because all they do is to hype you up. That's all it is. They reframe stories to hype you up. And you know who's behind these so-called black social media websites? Is somebody that's not your complexion. No matter if you want to believe it or not, they don't get their advertisement dollars unless they leading you astray on foolishness. And not everybody is our people. Not everybody who's the same shade of us is our people. And you need to start understanding that. Stop flocking to everything that you see is black and wanting to relate to it. That's what controlled oppositions are. Like this whole incident with Charlamagne Tha God and Kamala Harris, which you keep pawning these people off as these people are part of the black community. And they are not. They are controlled opposition.
The vice president did snap back at radio host Charlamagne Tha God after he suggested Joe Manchin is really the one pulling the strings.
Who's the real president of this country? Is it Joe Manchin or Joe Biden, Madam Vice President?
Come on, Charlamagne.
I really...
It's Joe Biden.
I can't tell sometimes.
No. It's Joe Biden. And don't start talking like a Republican about asking whether or not he's president.
Do you think Joe Manchin is a problem?
It's Joe Biden. And I'm vice president. My name is Kamala Harris.
Tammy, we're going to kick things off with you because Charlamagne Tha God said that he liked this version of the vice president. What's your take on this?
Well, one thing you notice was missing. I have to agree. She didn't giggle. She didn't right. laugh through any of that. And I think that's like, it sounds like a different language. I think maybe her biggest problem is if Joe Manchin was president, she wouldn't be next in line.
Three things. One, dude calls himself Charlamagne Tha God after a fat white royalty ruler back in the day who was an Edomite. That's who he calls himself. If you don't think he's a controlled opposition, you are lost because you like watching his foolishness. You like him disturbing really black growth to leave this system, black spirituality to leave this system. And there's a reason why they put these two on his show. Come on. Like Kamala doing the Charlamagne Tha God show is like, it's really like Joe Biden doing Rap City. It doesn't make sense. And the reason why they do this is to pander to the black community to get you to watch and get you to pretend that Kamala is black. So when Charlamagne say, oh, I like the side of her, she is supposed to fit the trope of the angry black woman defending her master. That is what they do. People can talk about how the Willie Lynch papers is a hoax, but people can't determine that it was ever a hoax. So you trying to tell me some random writer out of anywhere decided to use a Virginia-based plantation as a meet and greet to talk about how to make a slave to the point where everything that has been done and said in that document has been proven fact. And the fact that 400 to 500 years later, black folk are still tap-toe dancing, soft-shoeing, Daffy Ducking to the same exact tropes mentioned in that specific letter. Doing the same exact behaviors when that letter is not even taught in schools. So how can it be propaganda or a hoax if nobody really knows about it? This generation don't know anything about the Willie Lynch paper. They don't even teach this specific letter and papers in schools. And there's a reason why they don't do that. Because you would be forced to look in the mirror and know what the enemy does to you. So Kamala's supposed to fit this trope of defending Joe Biden, defending her rank within the system, defending Joe Biden is what they expect black women to do when pressed by a black man. It's to not defend your home, it's defend your master. And that is what's wrong with some of you black women today. You are defending your master, defending your home before you ever defend your man or a black man. And that is what the whole Willie Lynch thing was about generational trauma by seeing the black man traumatized and beaten and brutally killed in front of your eyes and not wanting it to happen to your children. So you coddle your children into homosexuality, basically, and you coddle your women to be overly masculine. I said this weekend, I sat and watched, because I love the James Bond movies. I watched the 007 movies back to back to back to back. And when they got to that last one, No Time to Die, they basically put the feminine black woman as a secretary. And what did they do? They put a masculine black woman as the next 007, which they're not going to do another series of a bunch of Ian Fleming's black 007s. They ain't going to go that far. Like, I mean, they want to use black people to a degree, but they're not going to give her her own franchise and have her own 007 movies where she plays this overly masculine black man being a black woman. And then, so y'all have to watch that foolishness, and you'll end up watching her doing what Zendaya wants to do, which is create two black women and have them have a love story. As if homosexuality has been part of our culture and been part of our breed and our genetic systems forever, and it has not been. Y'all do what Romans do. Y'all do what the pedophiles do. Y'all do what the Greeks do. You do what the Egyptians do. That's why all this sexual perversion, y'all into it, because that's what they did. It went from Egypt, it went really before the flood, it went to Egypt, went to Greece, went to Rome, and now it's here. And now all that they do, all this system does is propagate it on you, and you think it's part of your culture, it's part of your heritage, and part of your identity, so you act out on it. And all you're doing is doing basically what Willie Lynch said to do when it came to making a slave and breaking the black woman. But you can't break her to a point past you will spoil her, what he said, quote unquote, for good economics. Which means you're being treated, or you should be treated, as a horse, property, equipment. Because if he can get to you, this is way back in Adam and Eve days, if he can get to you, he can destroy the man without even touching him. And that was the problem with Satan. Satan could not break men. Men of righteousness, he couldn't break Abraham. He couldn't break Isaac. He couldn't break Jacob. He had to go through the woman first. And how did he break Ahab? He rose up, he got after Jezebel. Creating weak men falters the system, or our system, our spiritual system, our spiritual fortress. Over-masculine women produce weak men. Then they go into either homosexuality or they go into hyper-masculinity, which is what you see those little gangbangers do in Chicago. None of them fight with their hands. Everybody's shooting each other. And I'm not talking about 20, 30-year-old grown men. I'm talking about these kids are 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, shooting and killing each other because they think it's cute. And this is all from a broken household. And even if it's not from a broken household, the idols that they put in front of you, there is nobody tough in black entertainment. There is nobody tough in black Hollywood. No matter what you say and how you say it and what you think is real and what you don't think is real, there is nobody tough in black entertainment. Everybody is managed. Everybody uses a controlled opposition. Everybody has to go through these embarrassment rituals where they're touched behind scenes. Where now you have black men arguing about the texture of other black men's hair.
Yeah, he seriously got good hair, too. He got good hair. No,
because there's colorism when we say that.
Yeah.
There's colorism when we say that. So, because the opposite, see, the thing is this, even like the thing when they keep on saying, when they saying Becky with the good hair. So, if Becky got the good hair, then what
someone's got the bad hair.
Well, who got the bad hair? Because the opposite of good is bad. Right. So, once again, that's colorism.
I mean, it is true, bro. Like, you got it.
So my thing is this. See, I'm real, you gotta realize, I'm real sharp. Mm. I'm real educated on all this stuff. Mm. So my thing is this. I like to say that it's different textures. And you got one with coarse, and you may have a person with coarse, and you may have someone with curly. Mm. You got different textures, that's it. But it's not such thing as good and bad. Right. It's just different textures. Because if we say someone got good hair, then what's the opposite of good?
Y'all sit up there and was giving this dude, Floyd Mayweather, so many props and snaps from this foolish argument. He went from texturism to colorism. And like I said before, if Willie Lynch papers and the Willie Lynch letter was not legit and was a hoax, then why in the part where it says breaking a slave, making a slave, that it said that you had to put, what, the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You put the young versus the old versus the young, and you divide them out on what? Hair texture. The size of the plantations. Read those papers. So some of you can look yourselves in the mirror and know how completely stupid this whole system is when it brings up ignorance and passes it off as knowledge. He had the nerve to set up the, I'm real educated on these things. When have you ever think this brother ever sat in a school to learn anything? He has been managed. He has been manipulated. He has been ritualized his entire life. To the point they coddle him. They need him to never be defeated because they want black folk to look at Floyd Mayweather as a champion. And so when he comes out, every time you see him, he's always flashing money as if that is his money. When you are in a society, when you are in that group, that fraternity, you don't have the money that you think you have. That's why they show it. Do you see real Freemason billionaires flaunting that every time you see him on TV? You see Jeff Bezos every time he's on TV bring a duffel bag full of money and just flop it down. Do you see Richard Branson that every time that he does a commercial, he's just going to get $1 million of cash and open it on his plane and say, boom, here it is. None of the billionaires or millionaires or white folk who got money don't even do what Floyd Mayweather's doing. But the reason why they do this is because they want you to idolize ignorance and thinking this is what this money, this is what it's about. This debt fiat currency that's owned by the Rothschilds. They want you to believe that this money can save you. This money is a status symbol. That this money, if you don't have this, then you're nothing in this system. That's what they're getting you to chase after. They got you chasing controlled opposition and managed puppets to believe that their money and their surroundings and their everything they have, it belongs to them. That's why they always talk about it. Every rapper talks about it. If you listen to Jay-Z lyrics, everything he talks about is something a white man has made. Every fashion designer, every watch designer, every boat, everything that they talk about is something white folk has made. They make money off of you. This is what I people didn't like it, but that's why I posted that Finkelstein interview. People, oh, this is a hoax because this is his Yiddish accent. I don't listen to that. I don't get into that part. But what he said about the system that's, the people who run this system, their whole point is to make black folk, who they think are Gentiles, but they are the Gentiles, they believe that we are only made to be property. And we keep enforcing that theory, enforcing that ideology by running to anything they prop up in front of us that has the same color skin as us. That's what they do. Ignorance. And they put ignorance on top of that. Like this Jonathan Harris painting. Which I coupled that with the Christmas thing, which I know black folk are still worshiping and partaking in Christmas. But I only said that in that post where people didn't like. I only said that because black folk are the main ones talking about racism and systemic racism. And white folk do this and white supremacy does that. And they turn around and celebrate all the holidays that they have set up in this country. No one black invented Christmas, Halloween, or even Easter in that fact. It is a holiday that you have been given to your entire lives through the Roman Catholic Church. And they pull that from different civilizations. But they make it into their own. Because they've been given power to make it into their own. That is why they call it the Whore of Babylon. That's why Edom is called the Whore. You complain and cry. I don't complain and cry in bed because I'm not the one. Every time somebody says the N-word or do blackface or another black person shot in the street, I don't get in an uprising about it. I'd be like, oh, judgment's happening. Oh, they want to rob your attention. Oh, they're trying to cover up something. That's how I see it. I don't even partake in the stuff that y'all partake in. Y'all get offended about it and then go and then do all of their holidays. You tell me, oh, please respect us. Respect us getting shot in the street. And then you partake in a Thanksgiving holiday that was built on Native Americans dying and getting killed and raped and destroyed off their own land. Y'all learned that hypocrisy from Democrats. You learned that hypocrisy from this system. And it's weakening you. And those who benefit from the specific system, it's weakening you too. But it's weakening you to a point where devastation and destruction is going to come up on your doorstep and you not even know what's happened. That's why I love that last part in that last bit between Thanos and his daughter. When he comes out of the time machine, he said they never suspect the thing. And he, what does he say? He says the arrogant never do. Some of you so arrogantly involved in the system that if you think knowing so much knowledge that you can dodge pitfalls and you feel good about other people's downfall and being blind and stuff like that, trust me, you're going to see your destruction differently than everybody else's. Some people are going through their awakening, going through their destruction now for not repenting of the things they did before. You who are benefiting from this system, it's going to come on your doorstep. And it's going to hit you harder than it hit everybody else because you're not expecting it. That's why it says, the scripture always says to humble yourself. But this goes back to this whole Jonathan Harris picture of a white woman with a paint roller going over Harriet Tubman, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King. As that's supposed to be, it's supposed to mean as a metaphor that white folk are covering up black history. Black history does not start with Harriet Tubman, Malcolm X, or Martin Luther King. It does not. But this is the ignorance. That's why I changed it to white lies covering up black ignorance, because that's what it is. No one's stopping you from learning. Not one white person has put a gun to your head and said stop reading like they used to do to your ancestors. You're not getting hung for going to the library and getting a book. If you have children, no one's stopping you for pulling your children to the side and say, hey, what did you learn today in school? This is what I do to my child. I let her go and I tell her, I always tell her, I said, learn it to get good grades. but don't believe in it. When my daughter has to go and learn anything about Greek and Roman society, Roman history, I let her learn it, get an A on the test, and then I destroy it right after she learns it. And say, this is Esau's brother, the most hated person in the Bible. This is why these people believed in Athena, Aphrodite, and Zeus, because they were too pathetic to understand that there's only one Most High God. So people sacrificed to these marble stone gods, these idols. And she learns it this way. I make her do Bible book reports, because I have to challenge, or I have to really separate her from public school education and the education I'm giving her. So I'm giving her street education, giving her spiritual education, and I let her do the Masonic education so she knows how to pinpoint the lies in it. So she don't have to believe in it. So she don't have to look like some of you are out there on social media defending this system. Expecting this system to respect you. Expecting this system to change for you. Where everybody's going right into the capstone of Luciferian agendas. This is what the core of this is. It's to get you to accept Satanism. You black Christians and you pagan Christians, that is what you are already accepting. When evil comes for you, it does not come in its name. It comes in a form of love. You love the holidays. You love Yule time. You love eggnog. All of it is a spirit to lead you straight to the Luciferian agenda, to start accepting Christ, or really accepting the Antichrist as your Lord and Savior. That's why everything is so jolly around this time. It makes me sick. You should not want to be a part. This should be your true test of your faith, is not wanting to be around people who are in this so-called holiday spirit. You really shouldn't want to be around them. You should set a precedent, so you don't ever have to worry about getting 100 text messages saying Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas. Sometimes I have to cut that holiday spirit by saying something either offensive or something that's going to cause trouble. I could have held on to that post until after January. When I used to come into this awakening and this work, I would really prefer to hold on to certain posts until after the holidays, because I know people don't want to listen to nothing around this time. Everybody wants to be in this weird euphoria as if everything is going to be fine. And when you get to January, y'all back to being depressed. Them student loans start starting back up. The money that you spent on holiday season going to catch, because inflation is on the rise. So February, March, and April, is you're going to be fighting to get to May and June so you can try to enjoy the summer. But you have to understand that these times and these days and these years and these months are going by so quickly, you can't even prepare for the summer to even enjoy the summertime, because we're going to go right back into the winter. And sooner or later, we have to go right back into this whole campaigning process. So then you're going to see another Donald Trump PSYOP show. It is going to tire you out. Your brain is not going to know what to do. I'm talking about both sides, Democrat and Republican. You're going to see so much race baiting and so much unnecessary foolishness, so much blackface, so much tap-toe dancing, so much controlled opposition. It's going to make your head spin. And if you don't have it glued on right, you're going to fall into the fray. You're going to fall into the hay. You're not going to understand what's going to happen to you. And that's what the Most High says. When a stupor seizes the inhabitants of this world, they won't know that my judgment is nigh. When people go against people, when brother turn against brother, they won't know what's really coming. They don't know that my judgment is coming. And I tell you, the Most High is stirring the foolishness up. He's stirring the people who are not checked out of this system yet. He's using them against each other to blindside them. to blindside them. That's why everybody's into vanity, into pride, into being arrogant, because that's what really blinds you. That spirit blinds a lot of you. Is that vanity? It's blinding you. Just like when I posted chapter and verse of you guys not doing the proper Sabbath, and I still see people posting Sabbath Shabbat Shalom on Fridays and Saturdays, and they follow my page, and they still haven't changed it. Even though I posted scripture, it's not me saying it. The Most High said, you guys will disturb the feast, the months and the years, and you won't make it 364. And I said this 100 times already. If you are on the Gregorian calendar that hasn't been even around more than 500 years, which is the calendar that we are all on, if you are still doing that calendar, the Sabbaths are not in its proper place. And it deviates every year the day after the days change. So if the Sabbath was on the 11th, next year it's going to be on the 12th. That's how it changes. In the Enochian calendar, it doesn't change at all. It's a set day on a set month because everything is equal and it's in its place. Satan has tricked the whole entire world by getting you caught up in different times of day so you don't even know when judgment's coming. There's scripture that states when the time of the Most High is going to visit the heathen. It says this in scripture. You can kind of, if you know anything about the dates and the calendar, if you know what's going to happen, then you can kind of pretty much have an idea of when all of this is going to take place. But you can't know when it's taking place if the days and months and the years are out of order because they kept changing the calendar. The lunar calendar, the solar calendar, the Gregorian calendar, they've been changing the calendar so you won't know what's coming. They know what's coming. Why do you think they're trying to hype up foolishness on this? They stopped trying to do the emasculation agenda. Now they stopped trying to make men into girls. Now they're pushing on children. Now they're trying to get everybody vaccinated. They literally stopped worrying about men in dresses. And they're now trying to put that poison into children. They can't keep up with their own agendas. There's not enough time. And there's not enough airtime, really, to promote every single agenda now. First, it started off with the gay agenda. Then it went from that and went to men wearing dresses and going to libraries to teach children. Then it went fast. They went through sports gayness, sports homosexuality. That already went through. They did Kid Cudi. People's attention is not focused on one specific thing for a long period of time like it was before. They know they don't have that much time. So now it's we got to release all these America, these, I don't know why, you got me sounding like black folk on Twitter, Omarion virus. Now the Omaricon, dang, I still can't say it right. The O virus is still running wild. Now they trying to back that up with saying it's still Delta. They're going to come out, trust me, they're going to come out with another variant that's going to trump both of those together. I'm telling you, if they call it Omega Man, y'all might as well pack up and just stay in the house for the rest of the time. Because you know after that, they're going to put military in the streets. They be getting you ready for this. But it's coming so fast, and they're going to put the presidential campaign right on top. That's going to be the icing on the cake. It's doing this during a presidential campaign. It's going to be so much confusion and Civil War type propaganda and all this back and forth. And if you are not at peace, my people, if you are not at peace with yourselves, if you don't know what your vice is, what your sin is, what is drawing you into this system, you are never going to pull out fully in time. We have all been given a grace period. We have all given a time to come back. It's going to be a time coming where that grace period is going to shut off. And he says in Ezra, he is going to forgive those who he can forgive, and those polluted with sins, he is going to destroy. And I'm telling you, even if it's the little things, if you following celebrities, please stop doing it. If you are following these social media websites where all they do is create drama upon your communities, stop following it. It is time. We are at a point where we have to prepare. And the people who's telling you to prepare are people who've already checked out of this system. They feel the energy. It's a spiritual energy. You feel it in the air. Once you become awakened, you feel it in the air. But you cannot feel it if you are trapped in vanity. Because you're looking at yourselves and you're looking at and following people online who like looking at themselves as well. Through 100 different filters, you are watching people who like to put on clothes and look at themselves. And then you are doing the same thing they're doing. So you're not looking at anything outside of that. You are destroying your spirituality. You are destroying that hedge about you. You are attaching demons to your flesh that are keeping you blinded in that system rather than pulling out. And you can't do this thing halfway. You can't be in, and you can't have, like my mom used to say, you can't have one foot in the grave and one foot here. You just can't do it. It's got to be all or nothing. You have to make that decision really soon. It's not too many New Year's and holiday spirits that you're going to have to endure in. Pretty much, if this all is going to collapse. Satan wants the praise and worship for himself. Celebrity's not going to make any difference. If you read the book of Revelation, he will have the harpists and the musicians cease. The millstone will not be heard again in Babylon. It's all coming down to, it's done. It's done already. It's done. There's nothing else more you can expect out of the society than what I've told you in this podcast. Nothing is going to change for the better for you. This is not the time to get rich. This is not the time to buy land. This is the time to be fortified spiritually and then fortified with just the essentials. Start from the ground up. You can't come into this knowledge and understanding and start from the top and say, oh, I got it. I know everything. Start from the ground up. That's why I always tell people, if you want to read the Sefer, start with the Wisdom of Solomon, because there it'll open your eyes up a little more. It'll open you up to how you're supposed to act, to how you are supposed to walk, to how you are supposed to live, eat, pray, offer. Once you start there, it'll work for you. Just like it's working for me. I mean, I can't tell you I'm at peace. I'm at peace, but I get hyped because I love talking to you guys. But I'm at peace. And the time that everybody should be confused, I'm at peace.